Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Friends, Romans, diddlers. It's that time once again. You've opened your presents, you're sick of your family, wait for the new year to kick off. What better time, what better place than sitting down and listening to us give you the definitive culties of the year 2023.
Ooh. Beautiful. Fantastic.
In my head I could hear that. Like,
I noticed that as you were giving that lovely monologue, I noticed Joel just reached over and turned you up slightly. I've really got to hear this. Like, I really can't wait to hear what Matthew's got to say. It was beautiful.
Wow, he's spitting. Mm. Literally, his poor microphone. So, this is Jack, this is Ross, this is Matthew. What we're going to do is, we're going to go through the list of the awards. This man's going to pick something. This man's going to pick something. I'm going to be the decider. We're going to see what happens. Mm. See who we're going to annoy and see who people go, aha, I knew those lads had good taste. So, hope you sat down and ready for the first award. The most underrated.
Ooh. Do the lean.
2022's winner, Chad Gable. Ah. Very deserving, I thought.
Aged well.
It did.
Yes, he has. That's what clean living will do for you. And so, what do we have from yourself, Jack?
I'm starting off with, this is a tricky one. We always have to make the, I always go through like five picks when I'm choosing these and then think, no, they're just underutilized, not underrated. So I've gone for someone who's been utilised but hasn't enjoyed as bright a spotlight as they've perhaps deserved. I've gone for Athena, the current Ring of Honor women's champion. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say at this stage, as we sit here in December, that she's kind of carrying the entire Ring of Honor brand. Most Ring of Honor names like Eddie Kingston, Claudio Castagnoli and Samoa Joe are primarily AEW wrestlers. Even Eddie Kingston, who's the current Ring of Honor world champion as we record this, and others like Dalton Castle don't really get given enough of a sustained spotlight, nor does the promotion as a whole, really. Athena's been maybe the most consistent bright spot of the promotion or the brand. She had a great match with Willow Nightingale earlier this year, which deservedly main evented the pay-per-view it was on. It also followed Claudio versus Pac, which isn't an easy task at all. But actually, I think I actually preferred the Athena-Willow Nightingale match to that one. Part of that was because I was quite annoyed that Pac didn't win. But I still enjoyed their main event. It was very good. Now she's doing this kind of Ted DiBiase Virgil style feud with Billy Starks. And I think it hasn't happened at the time of recording yet, but I think they're set to headline Final Battle maybe. They're definitely a big featured match on Final Battle, but I don't see her mentioned as much as she should be, given how good she is and how many years she's been good for Athena. She's always, for many years now, been one of like the best women's wrestlers in probably the world and doesn't really get the recognition she deserves, I feel. So Athena, formerly Ember Moon.
I forgot how good this bit was for everyone doing their little speeches and putting things together. Yeah. But it is good. It brings out the best in everybody, I think.
I've got more thorough notes for some than others, though.
That's fine. No, but you are right, though, in a way. Like, Athena, wait, how can they be underrated when they're at the top of the Ring of Honor on a card? But that might as well be, you know, nothing.
I know.
At this point. We're a wrestling podcast. No, we don't watch Ring of Honor regularly. Sorry. Them's the breaks.
Ever. There's ever. Enough wrestling, isn't there?
Ross, what have you got for us?
As Jack mentioned, there always comes down to the underrated and underutilized debate, but my pick this year has got to be fitting for both of those terms because he's underutilized because he's never used on TV, which then in turn means he's underappreciated by the masses who won't have seen him do his stuff on the big stage. Only fans of NXT and Impact Wrestling will know what this guy is all about. I don't understand it. He's as good as wrestler as all the bland, flippy lads, but then He's got the charisma, which makes him better than all the bland, flippy lads. He's the sort of performer where if they booked him right, he could be the biggest heel or the biggest baby face. He's got that sort of cavorka about him. It's Cameron Grimes.
Oh.
He's had 8 televised main roster matches since going to the main roster in April. One of those was the Slim Jim Battle Royal that LA Knight won at WrestleMania, and he's lost his last 5 on the bounce when he's been used. But we watch NXT. We saw how good he can be when he's put in the right role. As I say, as a heel or a babyface, he's equally as likable as he is detestable. I just think he needs to be both utilized more and just use him more. So Cameron Grimes for this year. It's criminal what's happening to him.
Yeah, it used to be the joke that people would want to stay in NXT because going to the main roster would kill them. And you go, no, that hasn't been the thing for years. And then we get this because nostalgia sells.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we love him on the show because we love NXT. Yeah. So, obviously, the one wrestling brand that matters gets stuffed, Ring of Honor. That's a tough one. Because at the same time, I haven't seen Athena do the Ring of Honor stuff. So that's a really good way of being underrated.
The feud with Billy Starks is getting raved about. I saw they put a big like omnibus on YouTube, like 4 hours or something.
Like Emmerdale.
I was going to say, having heard Ross's pick, I do prefer his to mine because Athena, right at the tail end of the year, has started getting a bit of recognition for what she's been doing. Damn it. Which is annoying.
Oh, wait, she's getting some praise. We can't like that then.
Yeah.
Just because we've lived with him, we've seen him grow, we saw those amazing stuff he did with The Rock and The Gardening. And Ted DiBiase, who's still under investigation, so we should be bringing up continuously on this podcast.
Merry Christmas,
Ted. And again, Ted DiBiase, right? I compared him. Wow.
If you had a penny for every time you got mentioned, you might be able to. No, you won't. He stole loads of money. So I'm not going to mention Dina, not because it's a bad pick or anything else like that. It's just because I would sound like a fake fan. People are like, all right, what's your favorite thing she's done? I don't know. Yeah, I'd be that type of person to give an award to somebody just to look cool and relevant. So
when Ross said Grimes there, I was like, damn it, that's a good pick.
Cameron Grimes, because I agree with it. Cameron Grimes, because we've seen how good he is. And Cameron Grimes, because, oof.
What's he done? That's what I'm asking. Yeah. What's happened to him?
I don't know.
I don't know.
They also made him really serious when he was really good in the sort of semi or fully comedic role as well.
Okay. So my little picks, well, I put question marks here because you're right, it is a tough one, isn't it? I put maybe Thea Hale or Andre Chase, if they count. I thought really half of NXT can be listed here as we are 70% of the viewership. And I said it's hard to underrate people in AEW because everyone's got a title or an OnlyFans account. So I decided, after much consideration, Daddy Magic, the living cartoon, able to commentate and procrastinate.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
And just be good at both. Half-year winner. Joe Gacy.
It was Joe Gacy. We said last year.
Wow.
We said last year's winner of Chad Gable aged well. Gacy's.
If we had an award for the worst gimmick, it would have to be his current gimmick, whatever it is.
He's wacky.
Is he?
I don't know. He's unpredictable.
He stole a bell. He likes Vic Joseph.
He's Robin Thicke after Blurred Lines.
What a shout. Oh, my word.
Anyway, moving swiftly on. So, well done, Cameron Grimes. At least you won something this year, eh?
Up the Grimes.
Yes. Next award, please.
Whoa. Most improved.
How do we do it? Most improved. Last year's win. Oh, very deserved winner. WWE's on-screen product. That's right.
I was fuming with that. I think I was a Ross pick, and I was fuming.
Sounds contrived and bollocks like I would go down.
And what have you got for us this year?
This year, it's purely a wrestler from an in-ring standpoint because his gimmick used to be that he was wank, and he was just so wank, you'd expect people to just win against him very easily. Now he's going toe-to-toe in really good matches against the likes of Dragon Lee. There was a recent, like, really solid TV match against Randy Orton. Among others, his time with the North American Championship at NXT made him cut longer promos, which, again, was much improved from last year. But primarily the in-ring stuff, it's night and day from last year. It's Big Dom. Dirty Dom.
Good pick.
Dirty Dom.
Yeah, not much Dom.
More to add to that. Yeah, it's been a weird thing saying, oh, there's Dom having a proper match. And Dragon Lee match just happened. There were bits there where Dragon Lee's like, oh, no, don't worry, Dom, the ring general has you here. Don't worry, mate. You're in safe hands here. Young rookie. So, yeah, good pick, mate.
Thank you.
Jack, what you got?
My pick's kind of the opposite of Ross's because it's Ross mentioned there that it's like the in-ring stuff particularly. Also his promo as well, but like, Dom's night and day from what he was in the ring now. Mine's more the outside of the ring stuff because it's someone I think's always been a fantastic wrestler. But someone who was already good and has now become excellent. So it's not someone crap who's now all right. It's someone who was already good and is now pure mint. It's Swerve Strickland. Not in terms of his in-ring ability necessarily. He's always been good. But his move, his presence, his charisma. Again, he's always been charismatic, but now I think there's more of a focus. And he's proven why, I think he said in an interview with Chris Van Vliet, it was that he wants to be the first black AEW world champion. And I don't think, given his current run of form, anyone could disagree that he should be. He should be a world champion in AEW. So it's a weird pick because he was already good, but Swerve Strickland.
I hadn't thought of the award like that. Like, guys who were good, then turned great. It's always, you always think of it. Yeah, you always think of it, guys who were a bit, and then got actually genuinely good. But yeah, actually, it's a good point. Shane Strickland.
Kill shot.
Ba-bang.
Yeah.
The best, Bruce Pritchard sent the fresh paint of coat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. From good to, ooh, I like that idea. Damn it. I'm going to say that I swerve when I drive.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I agree. He's just had a wash. He's got himself all spruced up, had a brush of his hair, and suddenly he's amazing.
It's weird.
But he's not done that much different to himself.
No.
He's suddenly so much more improved as a complete package.
It's weird that, obviously, AEW is often rightly criticized for pushing someone and then just discarding them. But the one person I think you can say that they've definitely improved is Swerve Strickland, or allowed him to improve. Yeah,
good pick. Ones I had. I put Tiff Stratz, if she counts, because it still feels like she just got here, but she's really good. Luke Jacobs, because he's mint. Leon Slater, but I mean, we can't put him down every year. But he is getting better every year, so stop it. You're being awkward.
I heard that he was a little bit nasty at the last North event.
To you?
No, I wasn't there. I heard he was nasty to his best friend, man like Dorice.
I'm glad you told me that, mate. That would have been really embarrassing for all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
I put Tony Storm turning timeless and escaping the Outcast.
That was nearly my pick this year, yeah.
And also, Ivar the Viking, as a tag guy, he couldn't get ignored. As a singles, I love him. So
he's not called Ivar the Viking.
That's what I've got written down here. Ivar. Who's Ivar?
Makes
the Viking.
Like,
oh, that Ivar. Not Ivar the Postman.
Like a kid's cartoon character.
The cousin of Yvonne of the Yukon.
The half-year winner, Delightful Hudson.
Mm. He's kept it up, hasn't he? Big
he
dull.
Has, yeah.
But shame, Chase, you haven't here. Well, shocking that.
Remains to be seen.
Shocking. Well, we'll move on. We'll get litigated. To the next category of most charismatic.
Wow.
Just any sound effects now. The winner of last year's award. Oh, of course it is. 2022, Ricky Starks.
Mm.
I mean...
Mm.
Easy, isn't it?
Yep.
Jack, who have you got?
I found this one really difficult because there was various. And I was obviously sorely tempted to pick CM Punk, but I couldn't bring myself to do it because he was actually absent for a lot of the year. But I really wanted
to. Why was he doing?
Well, so instead, I've gone for MJF, who proved that he had far more versatility than I thought this year. I know his character didn't really change all that much when he turned face in terms of, like, he was still a dick. But he did have to harness the popularity of the crowd without losing his edge. And I think that's quite a fine tightrope to walk. And he managed to do it. Start of the year as a heel. Then there was that pseudo face turn where we all thought he's still going to turn on Adam Cole probably. Then an actual face when he didn't turn on Adam Cole. And now he's just a face. I think he's a really unique mic presence in wrestling at the minute. Kind of I've called him like a self-aware Attitude Era face. You know, in the Attitude Era, all the faces were kind of dicks as well. Just not as much as the heels. He's kind of that, but it's very knowing. And I think that until that point, I just thought he was a very, very good heel on the mic. But he's actually proven that he's a bit more versatile than I thought. So MJF.
Yeah, well said. Many agreeable points there. Ross, what have you got?
I've gone Swerve Strickland, me. For the longest time on the podcast, I've always said he's the dog's bollocks. He's got everything about him, all the charisma and stuff, the backstage promos, his extracurricular activities with the rap music and whatnot. But then in that match against Hangman, what are you laughing at?
The rap, you know.
During that match with Hangman, that was the moment they sort of like, came into my head when trying to think of this award winner when he starts stapling himself with a crimson mask on his face. Just that aura, that Kevorka. So yeah, he had it all before then that moment there just pushed him over the edge. So Swerve Strickland for me this year.
Could he be a double cult? What an honour if he does.
He wouldn't be the first.
Oh.
There was someone last year, but I can't remember who it was.
I think one year.
Sami Zayn it was.
I think one year Becky Lynch might have won too.
Probably 2019, got to be.
Yeah, maybe.
And she had it on
talks about it. She's got the golden culties in her mum's house.
She's got herself Becky Two Culties. That was a
That's right. For
a
while.
Becky Two Cults.
Yeah.
Yes, and they censored her on the USA Network. They didn't understand. Bastards. That's really hard. Because at the same time, I don't want to give these lads who are both... Definitely don't message me on Facebook. Too much credit.
Swerve messages you on Facebook.
Well, after I say you're the best, you know, and hanging out me lips. Jesus, sorry, mate. but we can't give Swerve all these things because it's nice to spread the cookies around. No, but at the same time, Swerve's obviously been at that level of popularity and he's been great and everything. He's only really picked up to that level near the second half of the year, maybe like the last quarter, you might say, or the last third. MGF's been mega over since the start of the year. So if we're talking overall 2023, which is an annual award, that's what the word means, I have to go with MGF because there's been so many Dynamites and Rampages and Collisions you've watched where the crowd's been at this level. Hey, whatever. Oh, another announcement. Ooh, another title. And then... And the pops. You're like being almost like the Attitude Era, as you said, because it's like, yay! So I think MGF's popularity and his charisma has been helping AEW go through whatever weird waters they've been going through thanks to CM Punk. So I have to say MGF.
Fair enough.
I can't believe you've given him that award after that one week where he wasn't as good as he normally is. That one week. I remember.
In terms of, but that's it. He's had a few stinkers. Like I said, very amazing promo.
Just that one week. Been a few,
yeah. Yeah, even that match, even that awful, awful main event he had, the pay-per-view. Crowd is still going nuts. They were louder for that than they were anything else. Mm. Like, he is the biggest draw they've probably got right now for AEW in terms of just listening to the crowd react.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I base it off. So, yeah, so I can't say no to that. I just put the only other person I could possibly put for this would be Sami Zayn for Elimination Chamber and the Saudi shows alone. I put not even CM can touch him, which does mean that Scar is better than Punk.
An honourable mention for LA Knight, and I'm shocked that Ross didn't pick LA Knight.
Yes, of course.
Oh, you fool.
You fool. Oh. How do we not do that?
I feel like he's been simmering the second half of the year, though.
Yeah.
Simmering. Fair. He was full on cooking in the spring, and now he's simmering in the autumn.
Not his fault.
No. Just the way he's used, isn't it?
Oh, the winner of the half year, Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Right.
What a year that man's had.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad. Huh? Get better. Best non-wrestler.
Meow.
2022's winner, William Regal.
Oh.
Very deserving.
He was good.
It's the raging pervert. And Jamie's not really done much since, really. Just, yeah.
I miss him. On a screen.
Well, it's his thingy comes up to an end, doesn't it, in the end of 2023, that he can't be on TV.
I forgot about that. Thank you for reminding
me. Clause in his contract, whatever it was.
Didn't mean to sound like him there. Oh,
you did.
Is it awkward between him and CM Punk now back in WWE?
Yes.
Was it Punk or was it Dax who called him a stooge? Your Vince stooge.
I think it was Punk reported, but those lizards are going to give him the side eye.
Yeah. That's the only way they can look, isn't it? The side of the head.
Ross, what have you got for us?
Nigel McGuinness.
Oh.
We already knew how good he was from his time in NXT, but over in NXT, he was more subdued and professional and only really got excited and out of his seat at like the crescendo of a main event match after 17 kickouts. Am I right, Matthew? Johnny Gargano and that sort of era. But over in AEW, he's just a proper gimmick. He's laid it on thick like your gran does with the jam on the toast and that, you know what I mean? His monologues on Danielson are a highlight every single time he's on commentary.
Clam digger.
Hopefully, eventually he gets that match that he's obviously hoping for. Yeah. Obviously, when he's commentating on Christian. I've called it here, it's like from the back catalogue of Bobby the Brain, which some people might say is a bit overkill, but you know what I'm trying to say there? It's from that sort of ilk, isn't it? And obviously, he saves Collision most weeks having to sit next to Kevin Kelly.
Oh,
that poor son.
Yeah, Nigel. It's a different sort of Nigel that we've never seen on, well, I've never seen on commentary before this year.
Yeah, mate, you've been running rings around Taz and Excalibur on the pay-per-view where they could only get in the bare essentials. So it's like, no, because I'm doing the silly stuff and the serious stuff and you guys have to keep up. They're like, oh, okay, lads. Jack, it's going to have to be good.
It's another AEW pick. And for a promotion that we spent quite a lot of the year criticising, they still do a lot of good stuff. It's worth remembering. I think one of those is Don Callis, who...
that is a good pick.
I've put here, there's not many funnier things in wrestling than a man in his 50s or 60s being a campy slapstick villain. And I've mentioned Bobby the Brain Heenan, second mention there, William Regal, Paul Heyman, and Don Callis. You know when they do, like, they just do classic, like, Eric Morecambe stuff, where they've, like, oh, like a reaction or something. And Don Callis is brilliant at that. I think he's one of the purest heels in wrestling, probably, at the minute. I remember at Wembley being shocked and almost vibrated out of my seat by his horrible theme music.
That's a wonderful thing to listen to in person, isn't it? You can picture that in an airport on the massage chairs. Just put that on the background. Fall asleep.
It was terrifying live, though. On big speakers and that. I was scared. Yeah. I remember turning to Pierce going, what's that? And he was like, that's Don Callis' theme music. Theme music. I think he's done well. I don't think that everything involving his family's angle has been good, but a lot of it has. And I think he's been a big reason for it by just being so easy to boo. So Don Callis.
I'm going to go with Nigel McGuinness because he's also down as somebody to nominate for that because, yeah, been amazing on commentary, been a breath of fresh air. He's done everything he should be doing. He's multitasking.
He is.
And, yeah, everything you just said, bloody hell, yeah.
And I do. I also agree with you, too, that I hope he gets his match.
Yeah. Do you imagine that at Wembley? That's got to be what he's angling for.
Do you see the shape he was in? He put up a topless selfie around Wembley time as if to be like...
That was supposed to be private.
It had William Regal sweating, didn't it?
scrummy. Yeah, Nigel McGuinness, thank you very much, mate. I had Prince Nana. I put his best non-wrestler, Snoop Dogg.
Well, for the... He run those ropes like nobody else.
Absolutely, save the day. And I put Michael Cole.
Yeah.
He's been so fun to listen to since assuming the JR role of relaxed veteran. Him and Wade are terrific, and him and Graves are pretty all right as well.
Yeah.
And when they're good calling the action, they're good letting you know what's happening, and they're good just beating up the other one.
Could it be because Vince hasn't been screaming in his ear?
Yeah, I'd say so. So, good picks, though.
Shout out to Pierce as well. Big Adam Pierce, he was near.
He was my backup, yeah.
Winner of the half-year award, Samantha Irvin.
Oh, yeah.
Still very good.
Yeah. Why not? Good. Fantastic. Best gimmick.
How are you?
2022.
We should explain for all your listeners. We've got a slideshow in the background here of the award categories, and that's the transition noise for each slide on the
PowerPoint. That's on the computer if you're listening to the audio. It's not us doing it. 2022's winner, Honorary Us Sami Zayn.
Absolutely,
mate. What have you got for us this year, Jack?
Probably the noise we make whenever the slide changes. That's the best gimmick. 2020. I've gone for Christian Cage, mocker of wrestlers with dead fathers. But not just because of that. I think his general character has been probably the most enjoyable thing I've most enjoyed in his whole career, probably. In ring, he's been good as well, but his character work's been unbelievable, and it's not even been overly complicated, and I think that's the beauty of it. All he does is just be a massive hypocrite. So he doesn't like his daughter holding his belt because she didn't win that belt. And he says that while he's not actually the champion at the time. And it's just stuff like that. But he says it with such conviction and with such a straight face that it's hilarious. Really enjoyed the most recent one, promo with Adam Copeland, where you think he's going to do that. Like, I've got one thing to say to you, Adam. I know you were raised by a single mother. And I just want to say, I'm sorry. And you're like, oh, you horrible arsehole. And when he ran away from Copeland in the tag match, that was really funny because of how quick and far he ran. So, Christian Cage.
It's a good pick. Yeah, it's been one of my MVPs of AEW this year, absolutely. What have you got, Ross?
I just want everyone around the table to spread them cheeks and go...
No, you've not.
It's the ass eaters of AEW.
No, you've
it's
not.
No,
not,
you haven't. Not really, oh, thank God.
Christian Cage, father of the year. Yeah. I've got the same way.
We need your dead ass.
Just to add on to what Jack was saying, just the patriarchy is a fantastic name. His renaming of Luchasaurus as Killswitch was great. And then calling Killswitch Luchasaurus again after he renamed him. Just that classic.
Just a dead name.
Hypocritical stuff. We're sat here, interestingly, on the morning of the Dynamite where the Von Erichs are in town. And I've never been more.
Oh, no.
I've never been more anticipated for a Dynamite segment than Christian Cage.
And the Iron Claw's just come out as well. It's a sensitive time.
So, yeah, no pressure, Christian, tonight. I'm sure he'll have done something horrible. But, yeah, Christian Cage has been fantastic.
Well, the other nominees are dead then, because well done, Christian.
Clean sweep. Who have you got?
I'll put still Dom, the winner of the half year.
Fair.
Dom, to be honest, love the little bastard. Not being as hot in terms of doing stuff in the second half, sure, but he's got all the heat of a just microwaved Ginster's pasty. The best Dom since Diamond. So it's a deep cut there. Well done, Matthew. And that's the only one I had, really. Yeah. Just Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah.
I had tweener Drew McIntyre. But yeah. He's not a tweener anymore.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, he still is.
At the time of the recording. He's injured Sami Zayn. He's put him in the medical facility.
He shouldn't have. He talked about his family?
He did talk about his family.
Hey, we're not getting this again. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Christian.
That's the noise I do when I'm trying to remember where we are.
Y'all listen it's up, here's a story. That was meant to be a...
It's time for...
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, no, it's wrong.
Feud of the year.
I thought this was the new one, tag team.
I thought
team
we're doing the tag team.
No, it's feud, then it's tag team.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, it's feud, then it's tag team.
That's what it says here.
What?
We can't just skip down here, right?
That's a printing error.
We don't have to do that.
Is there a slide for the new one?
It's there.
Oh, well, we'll do feud first, I guess. Sorry, that's my fault.
We're following instructions on the paper.
I wrote the order down wrong, I think.
Feud of the Year 2022 was MJF versus CM Punk. Ah, that seemed like a really good idea at the time, didn't it?
It was really good, though.
It was good.
It was. What have you got for us, Ross?
It's even though the booking since WrestleMania has proven that it should have gone Cody's way, because we've just been sort of going for the second half of the year. It's still the first half of the year, especially the Bloodline versus whoever. I just echo everything I said in the half year video. The angle that got a tag team title match to a WrestleMania main event for the first time, and the crowd were hooked. It created a main event out of Jey Uso. As I say, it was all going so well up until the Cody stuff. Maybe even Sammy could have won it as well. But yeah, Roman, the thing that just makes it sour is obviously what they did with Jimmy. That didn't age well at all. It just didn't make much sense. And obviously Roman's matches now just are the same thing every time. That's the negative stuff, but I still think it's been the biggest angle in wrestling this year.
Yeah, I agree. Even with the negatives and stuff like that, they're still printing money because of this. And again, maybe the second half, not maybe about it, the second half was nowhere near as good, but the first half was so good.
Yeah.
Oh. So, Jack, what have you got for us?
Mine's a risky one because it's only been recent. It's not like it's not taken up a lot of time this year, but I've gone for Hangman versus Swerve. Everyone, obviously, I think the Texas Death Match has become most people's, it'll be in everyone's like top five matches of the year at least. But also, I really like the first match as well. I think the Texas Death Match has overshadowed it quite a lot, but the first match was really good. I remember thinking, this is like the first sign that Swerve's like on a next level. Hangman's been really good in it as well, I think, because Swerve's won both the matches and has like kind of been the more cheered one, even though he broke into Hangman's house. I think it threatens to overshadow what Hangman's done, but he's played his role really, really well as well. And yeah, just two of the best matches of the year. And I think they're kind of made for each other. And I'm glad that they've kind of put it on the back burner for now, but I'd love for them to revisit it next year. If they haven't by the time of this video going out.
Yeah. Damn, that's tough. Because like it is, it's like the best thing the first half of the year versus the best thing about the second half of the year in terms of feuds. I don't know, because I'm thinking about all those great moments, the WrestleMania matches, Elimination Chamber, the Saudi tag match, and then you think like, oh, but SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Oh, Roman's showing up whenever he wants. Okay, great. Oh, his matches are exactly the same now. I would say the bloom's off the rose, but...
It's fallen. Petal by petal.
So, strike while the iron's hot, and it'd be good to have a double culty. Swerve Strickland versus Hangman Adam Page.
Hey.
And just because, you know what?
Furious.
Because of people... yes, people's reactions to that was, I can't believe people were bleeding.
I'm just...
Especially the lads who were writing for about ECW and was around and saw that violence and suddenly like, oh, I'm in disbelief, good sir, all this shocking violence in front of me.
All I can think is that how much, specifically me and Matthew, have kind of consistently criticised AEW this year and they're clean enough.
These I know, yeah. Like I said, no. The good bits are good, the bad bits are bad, that's it.
Yeah. Damn.
I'm a stan. Well, I am a stan for certain wrestlers, but not for this. My nominations were... It's Swerve vs. Adam Page, yep. Gunther versus Gable.
Okay.
Starks versus Punk and then Danielson.
Yeah.
And Ian Riccoboni versus his friends on Discord.
Well,
they were like, print screen a bunch of stuff. He goes, oh, that's what Ian's been saying about like Kevin Kelly.
Oh,
and he's just like, thanks, lads. Cheers. But the half year winner was the Bloodline versus Sami Zayn in brackets and Kevin Owens. Again, one of the best things WWE's ever done, but oh well, that was 6 months ago.
I've got some honors.
Breaks.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you want.
Oh, so, go ahead.
Omega versus Ospreay, also two of my favorite matches of the year so far. And Kento Miyahara versus Katsuhiko Nakajima in Noah and then in All Japan. I mentioned it very briefly on the last podcast we recorded. Basically, Nakajima's left Noah.
That's right.
And he's turned up in Miyahara's promotion where he's like the top dog and he's become the champion and he's gone, I thought you were going to be the champion, mate. You're not even the champion. He's been a great heel. Yeah, so.
But how old is he?
Nakajima?
Yeah. He must be in his 40s, right?
Oh, he's been around longer than you think, hasn't he? He's one of those like Ibushi guys who looks way younger than he actually is. I reckon he's probably in his mid-30s. Should I check?
No way. Please check. That's really like that young up-and-comer. I'm like, no, bollocks. I remember reading about him when I was a kid.
Well, he's now the Triple Crown champion, not the Continental Classic one.
Don't worry. I don't think anyone's confusing those ones right now.
He is 35 years old.
No, he isn't.
And the culty four older than you think he is goes to...
Matthew, the old bastard, dressed as Ned Flanders today for a special occasion. Wow. All right. Now we'll talk about Japanese wrestlers. We'll move on. The tag team of
what?
The year.
Oh, new.
Yeah, we realized. Look at the awards. Sorry. The one of the last podcast you already brought.
I don't know what's happened.
Oh, I think I just swiped the back of your chair there, but it was an accident.
Ooh. Yeah, tell the insurance.
Do it again, daddy.
So, yeah, we realized looking at this going, hang on, to our abject horror, we don't have a tag team of the year.
Yeah, there was other awards we mentioned on a previous culties that we said we're going to do, and I can't remember what they were. So apologies if we did promise them. Remind us down below what they were.
Yeah.
And we'll do them next.
I'm going to ignore them for 6 months. So, the tag team of the year, what have you got for us, Jack?
So when I was trying to think of this one, I thought, was this actually even a good year for tag teams?
There's no standout for me like this year.
The same,
really? I've got one clear one.
There's two or three on the same pantheon, same level.
Okay. If this was one of Ross's tier lists, I'd say there was probably several in lovely, 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 but none in, what's the top one?
The best.
The best.
Makes sense.
I've gone for FTR. Mm-hmm. They've had a good year, but I think it's been a step down from their 2022, but like, I don't know if any team could have matched what they did in 2022. Right. It was an unbelievable year. This year they've had the big Wembley match with the Young Bucks, which I didn't enjoy as much as I thought I was going to, but it was still good. And they've had that feud with Bullet Club Gold, which actually turned out to be far better than anyone thought. And was kind of the making of Bullet Club Gold a little bit as well. They had that match that randomly went nearly an hour on TV, but in a good way. Mm. People didn't get bored of it. Well, that was during Punk's run as Collision Head. I struggled to pick them because I don't think there's been a standout team either, really.
Yeah.
So you're picking FDR by default.
Yeah.
FTR. They were doing bits in New Japan at the start of the year, which I completely forgot about. The match with, I think the thing that made them just edge above Kevin and Sammy, that was my other one on that sort of level, was the match with Juice and Jay White on Collision, which was in running for match of the year. As Jack mentioned, the one with the Bucks at Wembley was good, but I don't know what made it felt a bit flat compared to what maybe...
The Bucks.
Yeah, probably the Bucks. The stuff with the Guns was decent too this year. Dax, yep.
Oh,
the Guns.
No, Guns, Austin Guns plural. Guns plural. Guns Sorry. Singular, bad. Guns yeah. plural, tag team.
Naughty Cash Wheeler specifically. Dax stopped his podcast in April. That's another good thing for them this year.
Thank you, good point.
Yeah. It's not been their best year, but I still think of the proper bona fide tag teams, they've been the best. Kevin and Sammy, and I think MJF and Adam Cole were the other two who were in the running, but I think FTR have just gone... Just that little bit higher.
Wow. Okay.
It hasn't been the best year for tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
I've noticed a lot of the internet cool kids on Twitter mention the tag team Astronauts, Abe and Nomura. And I looked at how many great matches they've had this year, and it's a fair few, but I think their run of greatness has been spread over the past few years rather than them having like a belt at 2023. I could be wrong though, but look out for Astronauts, everyone.
Yeah. We should just call them the FTR.
If you want to take Kevin and Sammy or Cole and MJF as my pick and then pick from FTR and those
two. I'm picking FTR.
Yeah, I think it's FTR.
Yeah.
I nearly went for Sammy and Kev as well.
I'm surprised that of all the people to give awards for best wrestling, that not a single one of you voted for what I thought was my pick, the obvious one, the Creed.
Oh, yeah.
They've been amazing NXT. Yeah. They've been the people I've pointed at and going, no, NXT's only slightly wank. Here are the times when it's not been stupid. When the old firm aren't trying to trick the Italian mafia with tape recordings and all the other stuff that happened this bloody year. God, what was that about? We'll go, look, the Creed, the amazing cage match they had. The main roster, the kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be doing loads of great stuff in 2024.
They'll win it next year. Watch.
Yeah.
Watch. Oh, you watch.
Do you think they'll have already won it by the time we put this out?
What, the tag team titles?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think they will.
Have they not got a title match set up?
With Judgment Day, haven't they?
Yeah.
Nah, I can't win them the first time.
Oh,
sure. Make a statement. You've seen The Matrix, right? You don't win it the first time.
The Matrix?
Yeah.
He does lose the first. Yeah, okay, fair
exactly.
enough.
Exactly. So, wow. Okay, yeah, FDR, well done. The shock of everybody watching. Wow, who'd have thought? But it's annoying, though, isn't it? Damn it, you're so good.
Yeah, even when you're not as good, you're still very good.
It's like, ooh, golfer of the year. Oh, it's Tiger Woods again. All right, cool. So, show of the year.
Transition noise.
2022's was AEW X New Japan Pro Wrestling. That means they're dating. Forbidden Door. Wow, to shock of no one again. What have you got for us this year, though?
Is it Ross first?
Is it me
it
first?
It is Ross first.
Shout out to WrestleMania Saturday. That was the one with Angelo Flatten and Braun and that tag team thing that had no right to be as good as it was. Rey and Dom, Rhea and Charlotte, Shane McMahon's injury, and Owens and Zayn in the main event. But my show of the year is still, I think, the same one as the half year, Revolution. Mm. I don't think anything's come to topple that one. That's the one with MJF defeating Bryan Danielson in the greatest Iron Man match of all time, in my opinion. The Guns winning a four-way tag team match, Wardlow and Samoa Joe, which was short but all right. Hangman defeated Jon Moxley by submission. Jamie Hayter defeated Saraya. The House of Black were on there. Jungle Boy defeated Christian Cage in one of the moments of the year of wrestling. Mm-hmm. The final burial match with the coffin that dropped. And then Ricky Starks and Chris Jericho is on there as well. So yeah, it's still Revolution for me.
Yeah, it's probably... It's debatably the best show AEW's done this year. So, yeah, it's an easy pick there. Jack?
Au contraire, because I've gone for Wrestle Dream, or as Tony Khan called it on the pre-show, Wrestle Dream. which, even though I've really lost a lot of enthusiasm for AEW week to week and the booking and the storylines and stuff, their biggest strength is still their pay-per-views. Like, they knock it out of the park pretty much every time. But Wrestle Dream had Bryan versus Zack Sabre Jr., which is one of my favorite matches of the year, Swerve versus Hangman 1, and the main event of Christian versus Darby Allin 2 out of 3 falls, which was horrible and terrifying, but also really good. And then I looked at the undercard, and it was pretty strong as well. Not as big as those three big matches, but FTR versus Aussie Open, Kingston versus Shibata, the Don Callis family versus Jericho and the Golden Lovers, I think was more fun than a lot of people were worried it was going to be. But it was one where I had a lot of picks and I wasn't sure which one to go for. But I've gone for Wrestle Dream.
I thought you were going to go for Forbidden Door, to be honest with you. I'm surprised you're going with Wrestle
Dream. I don't even think that's in my honourable mentions, you know.
Really?
I should maybe.
Anderson Okada, Osprey Omega, Storm Nightingale, a bunch of other stuff. Punk Kojima, Lariat. I was going to say MJF Tanahashi. That wasn't a good match.
That was the opener, wasn't it?
Yeah, oof, God. Should have closed. And so you're picking that one. Okay. In that case, I'm going to have to go with Revolution, which is also the winner of the half year. Because, yeah, what a bloody show.
It was nice, wasn't it?
It was. I'm still, just because I watch it with mates, even when I was recovering from long COVID, WrestleMania Night 1. Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
My eyes half open. My friend's going, yeah, surrounded by Doritos. Oh.
The only thing that let it down was bloody John Cena, but then that game was down to him not being able to do as much as he used to, apparently.
Mm.
Allegedly. Even though he put over, it was really, because we're sat here the week of the Iron Claw coming out, just to peel the curtain back some more. He did more for MJF standing next to him than he did for Austin Theory.
And the Instagram post. Yeah. The Burberry.
Yeah.
His match with Solo Sikoa was way better than the Austin Theory. I really enjoyed the Solo one.
Yeah.
I also had Backlash in Puerto Rico.
Oh, yeah.
Just the crowd elevated that so much. All in terms of scale.
And being there.
And Sakura Genesis was probably New Japan's best show of the year.
Lovely.
Right.
I also put that TNA show that we were at.
North's show was good. Thunderstruck.
That's it, yeah.
Very good as well.
Other good shows to promote.
Was All Out good? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
It was, but I think we're all just like hung over a bit from the week before.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Lots of good wrestling. But well done, AEW Revolution.
Yeah.
Stay revolting. And now we'll go to the very, very prestigious Match of the Year. Match of the Year 2022. Gunther versus Sheamus. Clash at the Castle. Clash was the name. That's right. The noise they made when they hit each other.
That's what Bret Hart's seat noise made when he put it up and left. Get out.
Oh, yeah, he didn't like it, did he?
Didn't he? No, I didn't. So, what have you got for us, Jack?
I'm worried that I'll have clashed with Ross on this one. I've gone for Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew.
You have.
Before I talk about it, yeah, right, okay.
Call the police.
Should I do a backup?
Go on then.
I was going to pick either of the Osprey Omegas, but I'll actually pick Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. for my backup. Because I think it was a really clever match because it was obviously very technically intricate and very good, but they managed to, I've seen really technically intricate matches before that have been impressive, but also kind of boring. They did a good job of doing loads of intricate stuff, but being very like clear about what they were doing to the crowd. You could get invested about the game of one-upmanship and everything. But my real pick's the triple threat, obviously. It's just class.
Yeah, my other honourable mention was the Iron Man between Danielson and MJF, but still those two, the Gunther IC title win at WrestleMania, well, the retention at WrestleMania.
Yep.
And yeah, those were the two standouts to me this year. And obviously Swerve and Hangman will be maybe the third place.
Mm.
Yeah,
what do we even say about it as a match?
I mean, it wasn't just hard-hitting. It was one of those matches where it was a great story because it's like, yeah, Sheamus like, I really want this title. And Drew's like, yeah, me too. Sorry, friend.
It's the genesis of Drew being a dick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Even though he was a justified dick. He's like, yeah, you don't have any divine right to be that champion. Yeah. I want to be it as well.
And just the crowd being so into it. Like, come on, Sheamus, we be. And then just Drew pulling him out, going, oh, you dick. He's like, what? I'm here too. You know, like, oh, yeah, just a very human based little feud there.
Mm-hmm.
But then went a bit weird because you can't really do a feud of the year or anything else like that because then Drew was off TV for a bit. That mysterious, is he, isn't he? Thing he's still going through, to be honest with you.
Not long after that WrestleMania, me, Ross, and Tom did a World Cup, like a tournament bracket kind of thing for the best WrestleMania matches of all time. And me and Ross kept voting that match through. It was being like classic WrestleMania matches. And Tom was going like, maybe we should go for the other one. And me and Ross were like, no, I think we're just still too excited about it. But I think it'll age really well.
Hey, yeah. Nothing wrong being excited about wrestling.
Yeah.
I'll put Reigns versus Sami Zayn as honorable mention, the Nation Chamber. Flair versus Ripley at WrestleMania.
Mm.
It's all WrestleMania matches. Jeez. Uso versus Owens and Sami Zayn, WrestleMania. FTR, Jay White and Juice Robinson, the first one they had. And Joe versus Punk.
Yeah. That was really good.
I thought it was the best match of the show. Loved it. I think Joe hasn't looked any better. It's clear now that they were running off a bit of adrenaline Fair enough. Eddie beating Claudio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Get stuffed, Claudio. You stink.
That and, Punk Joe match was rated like 3.5 stars by Meltzer.
How many?
Like three and a half. Oh, like three. God. It was definitely under four.
We had to keep his stars in reserve for all those, you know, Osprey matches that came and went.
match was... They were so relaxed. Like, they were so... It was just two old pros, wasn't it? Having a laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it. Didn't love it as much, though, as Gunther versus Sheamus versus Drew, which was the semi-match of the year as well.
Yeah. Mm.
All the awards. Very deserved. Well done, lads. Next award.
Ooh.
Iranu.
Cool.
Match is just been done. Promotion of the year. Sorry. 2022, WWE. That's stand up for Vince. What have we got now,
Triple
Ross?
H, actually. I want you to pretend I've got a graph. The x-axis, sorry, the x-axis is the month of the year, so we're going along.
Yeah.
The y-axis is how good the show is.
Why?
Yeah, started SmackDown, proper on top of the rest of the world, I thought, in terms of the weekly shows. But that's gone down and down and down as the year's got on. Raw, it's been up and down like a what, Matthew? Your catchphrase from the podcast? You know what you want to say, don't you? Been up and down like a...
Horse draws.
Correct, Matthew. Thank you very much. AEW, if we get to the summer, they were definitely on top, especially with Collision. Those halcyon CM Punk days of Collision. That was the best weekly show. So my pick for promotion of the year is this graph, but taking the average reading all the way through the year. Who's got the average read? No peaks and troughs. Who's just been like that all the
You're
way through?
You're being mean.
Yeah, the mean, aye. It's NXT. And people will say, you're taking the piss, Ross. But honestly, and I'll go back to the point again, the hybrid of the silly bollocks that we all loved from the 90s and the 80s, coupled with the Creeds, Mello, Trick Willie's journey recently, other things, I don't know how...
Tiffy Strats.
Lyra Valkyria, by God. It's just been, as again, the mean. I think other ones have been up and down, but that's been the... And again, people don't watch it and they'll just say, Ross, you're taking the piss. But I'm not. I'm legitimately not. It's been my favourite.
That's why we love you, Ross. This is all genuine.
Been my favourite promotion of the year so far. It's had less... it's had a few troughs, but they've been silly. And they've been funny. Like, come Tuesday, going round for South of Sausages. But yeah, it just... As a mean, again, go back to that graph. That's how I've worked this one out. If you're not happy with it, I'll fight you somewhere.
Their pay-per-views, I think they've all delivered this year.
They have all. They've all stood and delivered.
Right, even...
Very good.
Yeah, I just got that. Even the Great American Bash, which was their weakest one, still had some good stuff on the show. It was like a complete dud. So, I mean, you are right. Even if you're just watching the big shows, you get a lot of bang for your buck.
Entertaining commentary.
Yeah, big time. I realise...
Genuinely,
that's just not true at all.
No, it is. I didn't say good. It's entertaining commentary, though.
I do realise... this Scotty. I do, on this podcast...
I don't know anybody's name.
We've made NXT a laughing stock, and obviously, because when you come to pick serious awards like this, people go, well, you're not being serious, are you? But I really am this year.
Wow.
They have become their final form, NXT.
Oh.
We have given NXT the award before.
Yeah, it's won before.
Yeah.
But that was more of a banter one, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but now you've been 100%
it means
serious.
It this time, yeah.
Okay. Jack, what have you got for us?
So I really struggled because I wanted to do another cool pick. Like last year, I nominated Stardom and I felt really cool.
Don't do that.
But Stardom have actually had quite a difficult year this year because of injuries. And I think changes in management or something's been going on over there. It's not been a particularly standout year for any of the cool Japanese promotions, really, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
so I've had to go for WWE. I'm standing up for WWE, you might say. Yeah. First half of the year, I think, was characterized by Triple H making really unique and clever pay-per-views, whether it's through excellent matches on certain pay-per-views, like WrestleMania Night 1, or location, like Puerto Rico, like London for Money in the Bank as well. And then I think things did dip around SummerSlam when no one was really happy with that main event. But then the absolute balls on him and Nick Khan to bring in CM Punk, which they didn't need to do because they're making loads of money anyway. I think that's a move that was like a total risk and it could all backfire. But as we sit here at the time of recording in December, the response to that has been massive. And even though his promos have been a bit too happy, the storyline potential that Punk just being there brings, like, it could go in so many different directions. So overall, I've got to give it a WWE, even though it goes against my wish to be one of those cool Twitter kids. I'm just not.
I love that you aspire to be.
Yeah, yeah, I want to be them.
Like, never mind the fact that you're renowned and recognised by so many thousands of people who think you are a cool internet kid.
I'm not one of the
You'd rather be a dude who's got, like, an anime profile pic on Twitter.
Yeah, 100%.
It's so funny to me. Bless you, mate. But when you're right, you're right. Look, we'll say, like I said beforehand, when it's good, it's good. It's bad, it's bad.
The debate
has been very consistently entertaining this year. The Bloodline stuff was amazing before it wasn't, sure. But then we've had stuff like I said, Gunther's ascension to the throne. The Alpha Academy every single bloody week doing good stuff. R-Truth just showing up, getting a pop of the night. Everything's been perfectly set up. It's been very well put together, apart from maybe the SmackDown women's scene, but can't be perfect. Yeah, it's WWE by far. Too many happy memories, too many great shows, too many backlash in Puerto Rico, as you were saying. Elimination Chamber, which you mentioned several times already. But yeah, War Games happened. They drew more people for War Games at Survivor Series without Roman Reigns, the World Heavyweight UWU champion, and drew more people at that arena than they did at WrestleMania 22.
Did they?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
So they're kicking it. I'm enjoying the product. I'm enjoying what this is not always something I've said.
Feels generally wrong, speaking. Doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's not right. But no, it is. What
like
we said.
Like supporting Man City.
Like supporting Man U. It's even worse.
Oh, yeah, you're from the 90s, aren't you?
Yes, that's right. I'm stuck in the 90s. I hate Man U. Yeah, WWE, by far. I'd say I'd even put Raw over SmackDown.
Yeah.
Currently, yeah.
I think so as well.
Yeah, by far. I enjoy watching it. There's lots of little bits of recap. But I think I used to get annoyed at when I was a younger, smarkier lad. But now you go and watch AEW, you're like, what's happening? No, don't watch Ring of Honor or Being the Elite or Being Dark Order or Being QT Marshall or whatever bloody show's on there. No, let me just tell me what's happening. Raw shows you what's happening. There's this value package. There's this. This person's doing this. Fantastic. Bangers with Bronson Reed. Ivar the Viking. That's his full name. Don't at me. Rhea Ripley. Like, one of the best wrestlers of the year. It's done now, practically. Fantastic. Yeah. Very.
She had the match with Charlotte. That other one.
That was it. Yeah. And that other one.
It was a big. Was it Raquel? One of the Raquel ones? I can't remember who it was now.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, there was someone she had a good match with.
A lot of the internet cool kids said that CMLL have had a good year, but I didn't watch enough of it to know.
Oh, there we go. Good for them. Next year or next time we do this, we should do like internet cool kid of the thing.
Yeah.
The contrarian award goes to.
The award we're giving to make us look cool. Oh, CMML, yeah, we watch it every week, mate.
To be honest, I'm watching it for Matches of the Month, my podcast that I do. I've realised that maybe I just don't like Lucha Libre. Is that sacrilegious? Is that...
Well, there's different types of Lucha Libre.
I don't like your classic high-flying, no-selling Lucha Libre very much.
But you like big, fat, old men brawling?
Why I?
Because AAA, get that down, you.
Okay, I'll switch sides in my allegiance.
Yes, cross the line. So, WWE, that little up-and-coming mom-and-pop wrestling company. Look, it's been good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
So I've got this. Let's see how good they're doing. Yeah, a lot of people will agree with that.
It's one for two years in a row.
Oh, no. We're going to fight against the machine.
What was the half-year one?
WWE.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing AEW could have done to like beat at that point when the Bloodline thing was still hot.
If there's one comment of us being shills for either promotion this year, I will hunt you down.
Yeah, look at who's won.
I know.
I'm worried now when I said, you know when you think of a sentence you've said and you worry you said the wrong name? When I said the ball's on Triple H and Nick Khan for... Bringing CM Punk in. Did I say Tony Khan?
No. We would have pointed
out. No, you said Nick, yeah.
I said noticed that.
Okay, cool.
Oh, has Jack just confirmed the secret thing we're not supposed to talk about? Damn it. But now, the biggest culty of them all, Wrestler of the Year.
Doodle-loo.
Fantastic. Last year's winner, Dax Harwood.
No, he had a class.
Why are you laughing?
He did have a very good 2022, didn't he?
He's having like lots of singles matches as well, as we said, so... Ross, what have you got?
I've come with a list. It's Bryan Danielson for me. The 60-man Iron Man against MJF at Revolution. Okada at Forbidden Door. The strap match with one working arm against Ricky Starks. The Texas Death against Ricky Starks. Wrestle Dream against Zack Sabre Jr. There was a match on Collision with Kyle Fletcher, which I remember, for the Dragon Sleeper finisher, which was also fantastic. The TNT title match against Christian, which went 25 minutes and 13 seconds, by God. The Continental Classic Blue League match against Kingston, the story told like, no, don't hurt this Brian. He hurt him anyway. And I've got to mention the fines as well. Throw that in there, why not? But yeah, the list of matches, there you go. That's all I've got to say.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a good one. What have you got?
The longer that list went, the less faith I had in my pick.
Oh, go on.
I wasn't going to win anyway because I'm once again picking Will Ospreay for Wrestler of the Year, which I knew wasn't going to, but at least Danielson's had a banger of a year. I will mention some of the things Ospreay's done. The feud with Omega, first and foremost, two of my favorite matches of the year at Wrestle Kingdom and then at Forbidden Door. I liked how those matches weren't totally back and forth, were so even, which is the match you would expect Ospreay and Omega to have and annoy half the people watching it. Instead, Omega dominated the first one, Ospreay dominated the second one. So I think that's still a bit more of a compelling story. It makes me more keen to see a rubber match. Also, where are we? Oh, yeah. Great matches in RevPro with younger names like Luke Jacobs, who you mentioned, and Leon Slater, who you mentioned as well, and another installment in his rivalry with Shingo Takagi, and then obviously the big marquee match with Jericho at Wembley, which again didn't fall into the trap that certain Ospreay matches can of trying to do too much. That match played really well to a big stadium, I think, and Jericho tried his balls off as well. He really tried. In New Japan, he had a good G1 climax in a year where it didn't seem to be quite as stacked with good matches as previous editions of the G1, but I guess that helped his matches stand out more with Naito, Okada, and El Fantasma as well. But, Brian Danielson. What about that bloody Brian Danielson? Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong, Ospreay's had some great matches this year, like the Omega match at AEW, and the Jericho match. I thought that was the best match I saw of him this year. It's just I've seen so many of the matches this year where I've gone, I hate this. Right. Why does he's selling his leg against Josh Alexander or Mike Bailey or whatever, and then he's like, oh, my leg, bruv, my leg. Oh, he's good, then. He's good. And he gets up, just does all his moves as normal. And you're like, I hate this. Nah, Danielson. Ospreay's done some good stuff. Danielson, not consistent, of course. He's only had 23 matches, but everything's been of the highest tier, from promos to matches to shutting Saraya Knight down on X. Feud with MGF, turning heel, battering Okada. Destroying Starks multiple times as well. Like Lauryn Hill, doesn't show up very often, but when he does, it's always amazing.
Wow.
So Danielson, yep, absolutely my pick.
Another AEW one.
Another AEW. She'll stand up for Tony.
Yeah.
I also had as the honorable mentions. I'm sure you've got some as well. Christian or Swerve.
Yeah.
Just again, MVPs carrying AEW on their back. Gunther, making the IC title more powerful than the world title. I put the Gable feud, Sheamus feud, Drew feud, matches for Owens and Zayn, Braun Strowman in brackets, remember him. blah, blah, blah. I thought I'd just done that bit. Have I done that bit? Rhea Ripley, Tiff Stratz, hardest worker on every big show she's put on. She died more than an old phone during the 6-way ladder match at Stand and Deliver. Had the best women's match of NXT this year against Lyra at Battleground. Mm. Beat up Thea Hale at Great American Bash. Great series of Becky Lynch. Only shame is she hasn't beaten Becky yet. So I think she's a very honourable mention there. Any others you've got?
Just purely based on week to week. Chad Gable. I know he's not at the big matches, but like if you're going to go take my graph analogy again, Chad Gable, just week to week.
Yep, in terms of consistency, yeah. Using that graph, yeah.
I'd probably say it was more on the strength of the first half of his year, but Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
But that was kind of a combination of the latter half of 2022 and the first half of this year. But yeah, can't argue with that.
Jey Uso as well. Mm. More so that obviously his stuff with the bloodline than the matches themselves. Mm. But yeah, when the big matches happened, they were, apart from one ending.
Yeah.
Good.
Wow.
Wow.
What a year.
Half year was Sami Zayn.
Right.
Which I probably said that earlier, sorry. But yeah, but obviously the real winner, like every year, are the fans.
Yes, they are.
What a great year it's been. And we can't wait to look at this in 6 months' time for the half-year cult these 2024 and go, bloody hell, what were we thinking, lads?
Oh, yeah.
I'm scared because think how much...
In general?
Yeah. But also for the next half-year awards because think how much has changed.
Punk will win them all.
Punk
will win them all.
I can't wait. I've noticed...
Best backstage fight.
A few times on recent podcast episodes, I've teased the idea of CM Punk winning the world title. And every time Ross has shut me down instantly, gone, he doesn't need the world title. I can't wait to see.
I'm on board with it now after this week. Yeah, that's going to be the world title match, isn't it?
Oh, 100%.
He's winning the Rumble.
Go on.
He's going to WrestleMania and he's winning the title. Oh. And then he'll turn heel afterwards. That's my big prediction of the year.
I think so as well. That's my big prediction. But
it's going
to
be great.
Or maybe it's just what I want to happen.
Yeah, it's heart over head, isn't it? But it all makes sense. It writes itself.
The only thing...
No, it doesn't. We wrote it. It's the culties. 2023, we hope you had a bloody lovely year. This has been Jack, this has been Ross, this has been Matthew, it's been lovely Joel with his cigarette hat behind the camera.
Is it Laramie cigarette from The Simpsons?
He hasn't just stuck a cigarette on his head.
No, I like that. No, we'll call that as we see. It's a cigarette on his head. He's wearing one cig.
He's wearing one of those Australian Outback hats and they're dangling from corks.
It's one of those Rambo things, but it's just cigarettes instead of bullets. Agree, disagree?
Of course they disagree.
Of course, right? Let us know below, but make sure to like and subscribe as well. Thank you very much. Hope you have a wonderful new year. Take care of yourselves. Bye, diddlers.
Doing the thing at the wrong time.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.